Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor program. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us today. Happy, happy, happy Friday. Yes, I'll say that three times, thrice over, because it is just so gosh darn delightful out there. I keep telling Gary, buy me a longer cord for the microphone, but does he listen? No. The conditions under which I labor. Joining us this morning is our very good friend, Pastor Charles Hendrickson, who serves not one but two congregations. That makes you twice the pastor, I guess, right?
Or half a pastor twice over.
I think if you do the math, that makes you one good pastor. And you serve at St. Matthew in Bon Terre, which we know.
Yes.
But then you picked up recently an additional call, which is to Redeemer in Potosi.
Redeemer in Potosi, which this Sunday will be celebrating their 46th anniversary as a congregation. And we will also be dedicating or blessing our new hymnals. The congregation decided to purchase Lutheran service book. So it'll be there'll be a potluck dinner. And Roland?
Ice cream?
My famous homemade ice cream I'm bringing to the potluck.
I've got to remember that this time. You keep holding that in front of me, and I'm so forgetful.
This is why, to get people to church. It isn't about the gospel and the word and the sacraments. It's about pastor's homemade ice cream.
Well, I wasn't planning on doing a program on church growth, but we may just have to answer a few phone calls. 505-7850 1-800-730-2727 KFUO at KFUO.org. I have a whole bunch of stuff here, but this really is about your questions and comments, things that may be on your mind, things you've seen in the news, things that may need some, well, theological clarity from a good Lutheran perspective. You can join us. Don't forget, you can email in. If you're just enjoying being outdoors, take out the old cell phone, text us a quick message to KFUO at KFUO.org, and we will. Hey, matter of fact, something
we can do texts?
We can, matter of fact.
Okay.
But we can do, text it to the email address.
Okay.
And it'll get to us, as I understand it. But I haven't mentioned this for a while because there are apps out there for your smartphones, both the Android-based and the, of course, Apple-based platforms, where you can get the KFUO app, you can stream us, and you can write to us at the same time. How's that for a cool thing?
Roland, I would say it's all Greek to me, except that I understand Greek. apps, Androids, I don't know this stuff. I'm too old.
Well, you got to get hip.
I do have a 16-year-old daughter, though. She can explain this.
We were talking with Pastor Michael Walther in the previous hour, wrapped up 1 Corinthians. And, there's this commendation that St. Paul has there at the very end that says, be men. But, the problem is we're kids, except when it benefits. So you got to come to the kids' side here.
Yeah,
okay. Be playful with technology. Buy some of this stuff. Play with it.
All right. I can do emails.
Tell you what. Get an Xbox and a box of ho-hos, and your life will change.
I do have a smartphone now, and I know how to use it a little bit.
Well, there you go. Baby steps.
Baby steps. There we go.
Again, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. There's big theological news being made here in St. Louis.
Okay.
Tell me about it. Well, have you heard about the Catholic Nuns Conference that's here in St. Louis right now?
No, I haven't heard of that
This is fraught with controversy. Apparently, Nuns on the Run, like that old movie from way back. They have gathered here, and apparently the Vatican is a bit out of sorts with much of what comes to be contemporary service in the church, the nuns, because they've taken sort of a left-of-center perspective on a number of the things that confront culture today. And
that doesn't surprise me at all.
And they're trying, some of the reporting is not exactly kind because it talks about the Vatican trying to rein in and gain control and all those sorts of things. And questions about church structure and authority there. But this is from local news station, Fox 2 News. Mm-hmm. It was the report that ran last night. This caught my attention. And this will set a pretty good stage for what's going on. And then you comment when it finishes. Okay, here we go.
Order from the Vatican is the most visible topic of discussion at a meeting of U.S. Catholic nuns this week in St. Louis. Fox 2's Betsy Bruce reports it is an effort by Catholic Church leadership to redirect the group's focus. Betsy?
Mandy, some 900 sisters from a variety of orders and professions find themselves facing an enormous challenge. Their group stands accused by a church document of promoting radical feminist ideas and not doing enough to protest abortion. Catholic nuns are often on the front line, ministering to the needy, the ill, and the forgotten. Those speaking out in St. Louis this week draw a sharp comparison between their roles in the church and those of the particular bishops who want them to be more outspoken on issues of contraception, abortion, and gay marriage.
Here in St. Louis, we work with the refugees, we work with the elderly, we work with some of the immigrants who don't speak English, so the English Tutoring Project, different things like that. And I think that the Vatican is much more concerned about the dogma, and that's not really where we are.
The annual meeting of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious is looking at the role the church plays in society. The group describes itself as being at the forefront of change and renewal in the U.S. Catholic Church.
Jesus was a radical in his day. He's still a radical today. And so the gospel is always countercultural. The gospel is always an invitation, as one of the speakers said this morning, to be at the edge where hurt, misunderstanding, where oppression exists.
One of today's speakers warned the church is losing young people because it is becoming too narrow and dogmatic, just the kind of rhetoric the Vatican document warned against.
I think we have a decision to make now of whether we as church are going to replicate the vitriolic polemic that is plaguing our culture today, or whether we're going to model reconciliation and healing for our church in the world.
Now, the conference continues tomorrow, where the sisters will be discussing just how to respond to that Vatican mandate and what they can do to stop human sex trafficking. Betsy Bruce, Fox 2 News.
Well, over to you, Pastor Hendrickson.
It doesn't surprise me in the least from what I know of cafeteria Catholics, as they're called, and not all, but a tendency towards those who would go into the sisterhood of the Roman Catholic Church. They tend to be what might be called social justice people. I mean, there's some good aspects of that, caring for the poor and needy and all that, sure. But there is a tendency in those circles to be more left of center. Some of the American American priests, some of them are more left of center than the official church position is. But that's especially true, I would say, and my hunch is correct, it sounds like, with many of the nuns. That they are, that the people who are attracted to that more liberal leaning would be those who would go into that in the nuns movement in the last 50 years.
You know, John Cougar Mellencamp was the only thing missing from that story. You know, I fought authority playing in the background, as Betsy Bruce was reporting, because I did get a tone that there was a bit of sympathy for the nuns, the way the story was structured, but that could just be my ear. I may be hearing that wrong.
They just had an easy story to cover to get some sound bites.
But no response from the bishops. You know, the reporter speaks on behalf of the bishops based on, nobody goes to the bishop or the archbishop here in St. Louis and says, well, what's the story here? So kind of interesting how they do the reporting. But this idea that, okay, now, personal hobby horse I've been riding for a while, so cards and letters to me, but I bring this up because...
Well, there are two things here. One is the position of these nuns vis-a-vis their hierarchy, and the other would... Now, even that's a loaded term, hierarchy.
Absolutely.
But the other would be the profession of journalism in local news markets these days, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, well, that's broad. That's not just local.
That they don't do real journalism much anymore.
Jesus is a radical. This phrase makes me crazy. I'm sorry. perhaps at one time it actually meant something.
Yeah.
But today it's more a statement of politics than theology.
Yeah, it is. It's like liberal-leaning churches basically taking up the Democrat National Committee platform, and it's all under the code word of social justice. Social justice. What that stands for is a liberal political agenda.
What do you think, why do you think that is so popular, especially today?
I think there are some people that just like to tilt at windmills and make boogeymen and have this ominous one percenter who's oppressing the masses, and pale patriarchal people. the white rich guys that are evil and using the church as their ally to oppress. That's kind of what the brainwashing is.
Paul Simon, when the radical priest comes to get me released, it's off to the cover of Newsweek. There you go. And so, you know, it's maybe, I wonder if this is maybe a baby boomer thing too.
This preceded the baby boomers.
Well, but we missed the 60s, though. And there's all this nostalgia. There's always this looking back.
All right, I hear you. You got to have somebody to march against, some protest thing.
Right.
You know, when Bush was in, he made an easy target. Well, now Obama's in, so where's the target? It's the one percenters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you always have to have a villain somewhere.
Yeah.
Hey, let's divert from this course of I was going to say destruction. No.
Now, let me say, now put a theological perspective on this.
All this music in my head this morning.
Well, put some theological perspective on it. It's not like the Bible takes the side of always the rich and wealthy or the side of the poor and needy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a balance, and we're all sinners, all right? The Bible does put an emphasis, both Old Testament and New, on caring for the truly needy, the widows and the orphans, okay? The least, the last, the marginalized, the most vulnerable. Yeah, we are to look out for them. And the Bible calls for that through the charity of God's people, voluntary charity, we find. Now, Israel, Old Testament Israel, was both church and state, so it was built into their civil laws. In the New Testament, there is no theocracy, per se, like ancient Israel. And so it is the church, we find in the book of Acts, where they voluntarily sold their possessions and gave to those in need according to they had need. Within the church, voluntary. That's different from forced redistribution of wealth. All right? So the church does care for the needy and the hurting through voluntary acts of mercy, yes. At the same time, the Bible also teaches in, for example, in Proverbs, or in 2 Thessalonians, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. It warns against idleness, and it extols industry in the book of Proverbs, for example.
And, of course, that exempts the person for legitimate reasons, the handicapped,
yes,
the disabled.
Sure.
You know, that's not what it's talking about.
Right,
it's not
right.
Talking about
those who are able to work
people,
but are choosing not to.
Right, the slothful.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a both and.
Two phrases jumped out of that story at me, and this goes to, we'll be bringing John on in just a minute, who's got a question about baptism, immersion,
okay,
you know, or sprinkling, vitriolic, polemic, and dogmatics.
Yeah, these are bad buzzwords. You're supposed to hiss and boo.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just reading through the preface, volume one of Luther's works. I'm doing an interview with Ben Mays a little bit later today.
Okay.
And I was reading some of Luther's preface on the comments of a certain pope at that time of history, and his mob, quote-unquote,
yeah,
you know, I thought, wow.
I don't know anybody who was more polemical than Martin Luther.
Yeah, and vitriolic, too.
Yeah.
This is the delightful Luther, because he's so colorful to read.
And you read
when he gets into this.
Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul, the Old Testament prophets all spoke harshly against those who were impenitent.
So is being polemical, you may have to define what that means, a bad thing? And is dogma a good or a bad thing?
They're neutral terms. They're neither good nor bad. It depends on the context. They've become buzzwords, bywords, to excoriate, disparage people.
Yeah, my dogma ran over your karma. Remember the
yeah. What would happen if a dogmatician
or
and
my
a catechist?
Ran over your dogma,
it's raining dogmaticians and catechists.
<That's right. Let's bring Herman in on this very quickly. He wants to comment on the whole social justice thing. Herman, good morning. Good to hear from you again.
Good morning, and thank you. Yes, Pastor Hendrickson, you had some good insights there. But talking about this, these groups like these nuns, speaking about the social justice Jesus, and sounding like, well, we've found the true Jesus of authority. I don't doubt that this same movement and all it packages, this kind of liberalism, is just as comfortable asserting Jesus was not virgin-born, didn't do any miracles, and certainly didn't rise from the dead. And so it leaves us with the result, and where do they get the authority tone they come from after they've taken all the supernatural authority out of Jesus to talk about sort of like bread of this world, like the Gospel of John chapter 6 has been talked about last Sunday and this coming Sunday, where Jesus distinguishes between himself as the bread of heaven, truly of heaven, versus the earthly bread that people have confused him with. And look at that vein. So you see that type of confusion here. No doubt these women among them, they would consider abortion a new sacrament, and that the sacrament of marriage within the Roman Catholic teachings would certainly include homosexual marriage.
Well, I will say this. There are liberal Roman Catholics who are pro-life. They make a mistake, though, when they extend that to being against capital punishment, though, as well, because capital punishment is actually a pro-life measure guarding the sanctity of life. Now, you raised a number of good points there, Herman. Let's see, what I'm trying to recall what all he said, but there were good ones. Refresh me, what were your main points again?
Well, my main point is...
About the liberalism, both political and theological. You're right.
Right.
And this has a long history. It goes back, really, I would say, to rationalism and the Enlightenment and the demythologizing of the scriptures, the Rudolf Bultmann program. When you take all that stuff away and you still want to have religion, you got to have something there. So it becomes, you know, the brotherhood of man or social justice or, creating the messianic age in this age through social justice and progress. When you take all the Jesus as the Savior for sinners out of it and atonement by his blood, and you still got to have religion because that's your business, you got to put something in its place to retain religion, and that's one of the ways that is done on the left side. Now, I will say also, to be equal, on the right side, there are groups who equate Christianity with a right-wing agenda, to use the term, or a conservative political agenda, that if we get America righteous and we eliminate abortion and defend marriage, that sort of thing, that is equal to Christianity, just a political social agenda. It doesn't work on the left or the right. The Bible is more than that. Okay, it's about repentance and forgiveness through the blood of Christ, and we're never going to have utopia here on earth in this life. Now, we should work for things that are right according to our calling in the world, but to confuse the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ with a merely political social agenda is a reduction that is going too far.
Right, and it, certainly the Roman Catholic Church and even the women in the vocations are quite diverse. This is only one segment of them, and also you'll find liberal theology in Protestant circles as well.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Thank you, Herman. Good to hear from you.
Good points.
Go out and enjoy the day. It's beautiful out there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. John, thank you for your patience. You're up next with a question about baptism, right?
Yeah, good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, John.
It is most assuredly a beautiful day out there today.
Yes, sir.
I've been going through the Luther's small catechism studies here lately, and I have really... found it to be a joyous, wonderful experience that is truly a blessing. One of the questions that I come up the other day and I had forgotten to ask was concerning baptism. My brother and I had been having a discussion, and he attends a different church, and he was under the impression that in order to be the correct way of baptism was total immersion. Hopefully I followed this correctly in the study that I had the other day. It's not, in my way of thinking, and I want to make sure I'm correct on this, that it's not whether you're sprinkled or immersed or whatever the case may be. Isn't it actually the water with the word is what makes your baptism?
You're right.
Or am I? Okay.
Yeah. The mode, what we call the mode of baptism, is is not essential to the to making it a baptism. And you're referring to Luther's Small Catechism.
Yes.
Where he says, what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. And then the second part is about the benefits it gives, namely the benefits that Christ won on the cross. The third section is about the power of baptism, that the power is from the word of God, that is in, with, and under, or attached to the water. It isn't the mode of applying the water that is essential. The Greek word baptizo simply means to apply water. And we find several methods of applying liquid to people. You know, Moses sprinkled the people with the blood of the covenant from a hyssop branch, sprinkling it over them. So Paul talks about the washing of the water with the word. Now, Romans 6 does talk about being buried with Christ in baptism, but it's not definitively or prescriptively stated that you must only apply the water by means of immersion. And in fact, historical evidence of church history and even archaeological evidence indicate that that was not the only mode that was used in baptizing Christians from the beginning. In fact, we're going to have a reading in the three-year lectionary coming up later this month from Mark 7, where Jesus talks about the traditions of the Pharisees, and it says in Mark 7, where is it? Verse 4, I think it is. Yeah. There are many other traditions they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and drinking couches. So this doesn't have to do with baptism directly, but it does use this word baptizo to the washing that they did of, you know, furniture, even dining couches. And it would seem pretty obvious that they were not fully immersing those couches, but were washing them in some way.
Sure.
So there's no prescription to fully immerse. I mean, you could do that. It's not wrong. But just pouring the water over the head to indicate the whole is certainly sufficient.
Sure.
But now if people say you must immerse or else it's not a baptism, well, in that case, I'm not going to immerse as an act of confession. Kind of like Paul with circumcision. He would not have Titus be circumcised when that was demanded, yet he encouraged Timothy to get circumcised when it was not being demanded.
Right, right. Okay, Pastor. Well, hey, I sure do appreciate it. Roland, as usual, it's a great show, and I learn a lot of new things every day I listen to you.
Well, thank you. You know, one of my favorite Luther quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, I know, it's attributed to Table Talk, and yes, I know, sometimes people will point out, quite rightly, that we don't know for sure he said these things absolutely. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite ones, when it comes to baptism, in the absence of water, use beer.
I've never heard that one before.
That one's out there. Now, again, did he really say? It sounds like it doesn't. Thank you, John. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Sure. But, you know, I mean, there's water in there. But, again, I think what that speaks to is the importance of the word.
Well, I don't think, I could say Luther would not have seriously suggested beer.
Well, of course, not in some great theological term, but sitting around the table with the boys from the seminary.
If it was a joke, I could hear it, but he wouldn't, because he, you know, in the Small Catechism, Large Catechism, does talk about water, and you don't mess with what Jesus has instituted.
And he's a master of using absurdity to illustrate absurd things. 505-780-1800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We have a short break, and then when we return, we have some more things. You know, there was a big press conference held out in Denver this week. Remember the name Sandra Fluke?
Oh, yeah.
The graduate student who opined mightily about how... Buy me some contraceptives or I can't... Well, some interesting audio from that little event, and then some other things coming along as well. Join us. The break is a great time to call in.
Or text.
Well, that too. The Bible Study is on KFUO Radio, the messenger of good news, worldwide KFUO.
At 21, Alan Babin joined the Army to serve his country. He became a combat medic because he wanted to help. One night on patrol in Iraq, his platoon came under heavy fire. His mother, Rosie, describes what happened next.
A call for a medic had gone out, and without any regard for his safety, Alan left a covered position and rushed to the young wounded and was hit himself.
Now, like many wounded veterans, Alan will require daily care for the rest of his life. Paralyzed Veterans of America has been working for over 60 years to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned from the country they proudly served.
PVA is the voice of wounded veterans. The fact that they're there and advocating on behalf of paralyzed veterans is a really good feeling.
To support Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit PVA.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he had quite a bit to say about it, most of it recorded in John chapter 6. Here is one of the quotes. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. What Jesus meant by my flesh, we will discuss this week in our devotion on In His Steps.
In His Steps, Saturday at noon on KFUO Radio.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
Prosecutors have presented cell phone records they say track the movements of a woman who allegedly fled the country with her daughter to avoid sharing custody with her former lesbian partner. Mennonite pastor Kenneth Miller is on trial in Vermont, accused of helping Lisa Miller, no relation, flee with her 7-year-old daughter from Virginia to Nicaragua to live among Mennonites and avoid court orders giving her ex-partner visitation and later full custody of the child. AP correspondent Wilson Ring reports.
Lisa became a born-again Christian and was attending the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg.
Kenneth Miller is charged with aiding an international kidnapping, but his lawyer says the pastor believed Lisa Miller had full custody. The current whereabouts of Lisa Miller and her now 10-year-old daughter are not known. Prosecutors say a cell phone was used during their flight from the U.S. to place calls to the Liberty University Law School in Virginia. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Richard Scott is something many patients desperately want and need to have, a good Christian doctor. At the end of a private consultation with a patient, Dr. Scott shared his faith as a way to help. Unfortunately, the good doctor practices in the United Kingdom, where Christianity is held in even lower regard than here. The General Medical Council, which has power over all doctors there, is going after Dr. Scott in secret hearings, and they've specifically refused to allow a representative of the Christian Legal Center to attend and represent him. Is this the direction American society is going? Will our doctors be punished for sharing their faith, say, in counseling a young pregnant woman on abortion? I see a steady erosion of support for Christianity. We must continually be on guard.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is the Ask the Pastor program here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor Charles Hendrickson, our guest this morning, he serves two congregations just south of St. Louis, St. Matthew in Bon Terre, as well as Redeemer in Potosi, Missouri. And I teased you a little bit going into the break that I found some audio. Now, this past Wednesday, there was, a campaign rally, press conference, all that sort of thing. And Sandra Fluke, as you mentioned, the grad student from, I think, George Mason University out in D.C., went before Congress, and she opined greatly with passionate emotion that, you know, if it weren't for contraceptives and government...
She says, I'm having so much sex, I got to have cheap contraceptives.
Otherwise, I couldn't afford my tuition.
You need to pay
for
it.
Right, exactly. Well, she was one of the featured speakers when President Obama went out to Denver. And some very enterprising young man went out with a microphone and a camera and he decided he wanted to interview some of the people that showed up for this and ask them a very simple question. Now, you would think someone who is committed to the point where they show up for rallies, take the day off work, you know, or passionate about an issue, would be able to explain why they're passionate about this issue. Well, take a listen to this. This is some fascinating audio.
The government has no place in our bedrooms.
No.
Okay. So you're in support of contraception.
Yes.
Government-funded contraception. Why do you believe the government should pay for what goes on inside your bedroom?
That's a very good question.
I'm not sure how to answer that question, but I think it's important to be available to have contraception.
I'm like all for abortion. I'm all for birth control. Like,
so you don't think the government should be involved in what goes on inside the bedroom, correct?
Oh, exactly. Oh, not even close, no.
So then why do you expect the government to pay for what goes on inside the bedroom?
Because a lot of people don't have the privilege of being able to afford contraceptives. So if we have that more readily available, then we wouldn't have people out here starving. We wouldn't have...
So contraception solves hunger.
Well, I believe it has a big part in it. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
If you can't afford a child, you
should. Plus, also, if you're hungry, you can just eat contraception. So if maybe the family is financially unable to support a baby, they should have an abortion?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, was expecting a little bit more substantial answer other than hamana, hamana, hamana.
What is that phrase? A glittering display of invincible ignorance?
Colossal ignorance. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And not to poke fun at the individuals there, but but for crying out loud, well, that's your job, Pastor. But for crying out loud, if you're going to be passionate, or at least represent yourself as passionate about something you believe, have a reason for why you are.
Yeah.
Other than, well, golly gee willikers, that's
a
great question.
Well, it's a right. It's a right, Roland. Every woman has a right to have the government and other people pay for what happens to her body. And this invasive species comes in through no fault of her own, called a fetus, and attacks her body, and it's up to you to pay for it.
And enslaves the woman to her pregnancy, as some would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, golly gee workers.
Well, there's so many things wrong with those sound bites there. For one, get the government out of my bedroom and out of my body and all of this. First of all, the Roe v. Wade thing, the abortion ruling, let's get the federal government out of dictating the laws of the states that the people of the state of Missouri want to have, and the Supreme Court unconstitutionally says you can't have that law against abortion. You know, we have laws against murder. So that's a Tenth Amendment issue, that the Roe v. Wade ruling was actually a usurpation by the federal government of the rights of the states to have their own laws on abortion.
Yeah, it's something that's come to be called the incorporation doctrine, that all
the
states must incorporate the federal constitution as opposed to their own state constitution.
Well, but they came up with things that are not even in the Constitution.
Oh,
the Constitution
exactly.
Doesn't even say anything about
Constitution, smonstitution. Don't you know we're working for the betterment of man here, my friend?
All right. Then this matter about the government pay for contraceptives. This came up through the Health and Human Services mandate of the Obama administration, which told churches that you, under Obamacare, must now pay through your insurance plans for contraceptives and even abortifacients, the morning after pill, killing babies once they're conceived. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has a moral stance against contraception. The Lutheran Church takes a more neutral stance on that. But we respect the religious conscience of the Roman Catholic Church, that they should not be forced by the federal government to act against conscience in the matter of being forced to supply contraceptives. Furthermore, I can't find anywhere in the Constitution where the federal government is given the power to tax to supply anybody with contraceptives. That's not the role of the federal government.
It's the general welfare clause is the excuse that's used.
That is so used, it's a waxen nose. I mean, the preamble, when it states general welfare, is saying it's for the general welfare of the United States to have this Constitution.
Well, it's a general welfare for me to have a Mercedes, but nobody's arguing
for that.
Are they?
So, but to make taxpayers pay for someone's contraceptives is not the role of the federal government. And then the other matter, if nobody pays for my contraceptives, then I don't have access to them. That's not true. You can go out and get some contraceptives. Or here's a novel idea. If you don't want to have a baby, don't engage in the activity that leads to a baby.
Oh, but now you're limiting
That's
my
absolutely
freedom.
Free.
You are restricting my freedom, Pastor. You see, you religious guys come
make
in here. You're going to kill my fun.
If you're pro-choice and you're making the choice not to have a baby, there's 100% foolproof way to make sure you don't have a baby.
But then I don't get my way. I want it both ways. I want to be able to do what I want but not pay the consequences.
There you go.
And the other thing, when I played those cuts, I think that really illustrates, and you can find this on the right as well, so I'm pointing my pointer broadly here. When it comes to having an explanation for the faith that we have, mm-hmm. as Peter commends, we have to have an explanation for whatever we believe. You know, it can't be this. Everything seems to be viscerally driven today, emotionally driven, and this affects the church as well as to, what, you know, like, for example, the things that we don't want to talk about from St. Paul about women in church and submission and these terrible cultural words that mean oppression and bad stuff. Everything is emotionally driven today. Nobody can, it's because you can't challenge feelings.
It's also, think about when I heard these women saying those things, think what produces that in education, in media, and in government.
I think it's a genuine lack of curiosity as to why people believe what they believe.
Well, the liberal education establishment
kills curiosity.
Which, well, when it's more indoctrination and not critical mm-hmm. thinking,
exactly,
they are taught these things. That's what it is to be hip and radical and cool. And when you go to university, this is what they indoctrinate you in. Then the films and the television, which has gradually over decades led to the culture that we have now, and then the government. Instead of using the law as a teacher in the right way of reinforcing God's law written into human hearts, now is calling good evil and calling evil good. Not only doing these things, but approving those who do them.
Well,
Romans 1.
You know, that reminds me. I knew you were going to go here today. This is how connected we are when we do these programs. What I did was I wrote down a few notes for myself, and I was going to ask you this question. I'll put it to you now. When you talk about good being called evil and evil being called good, do you think we are actually living in Orwellian times?
Huh. The use of language you're speaking of.
Well, you know, if folks don't remember, George Orwell.
Yeah, it's a brilliant novel.
1984 is the novel I'm talking about. We were forced to read this. Those evil English teachers, literature teachers, made us read these things, and we sweated through it like Upton Sinclair and all the rest of them.
And who Big Brother was can change according to your political perspective.
And you know, Orwell was a Marxist. He was a hardcore Marxist, and then his eyes were opened during the Stalin administration of Russia, the Soviet Union, and he wrote these novels, and it was written in 1948, and he just reversed the numbers, called
Ministry
it
of Truth. And
right, and you know, these truth squads, you know, correcting everything that was wrong.
Thought police.
That's right. If it was right, they came along and made sure it was wrong, and if it was wrong, they came along and made sure it was right. Again, golly gee willikers, Batman, seems like the days we're living in now.
But it's not fascism when we do it, the left will say.
We're serving the betterment of man. Yeah, you're right.
So, but yeah, the use of language what kind of speak was it called? I forget the name.
Groupthink?
Groupthink or something like that.
Yeah,
women's health issues, women's health. I saw Obama in front of behind a podium that said women's health security or something.
Yeah, that's the tyranny of
language. Reproductive rights, when they're not wanting to use the A word, abortion, or not wanting to see pictures of what abortion does. You know, it's suppressing the truth.
The thing that I note here is that this whole thing, these culture wars that we talk about.
Or marriage equality. There's the current one about homosexual marriage.
Equality, yeah.
They
had equal rights. They could choose to marry an opposite sex person just like me, and I was under the same restrictions. I couldn't marry a same sex person just like them. Where's the inequality?
Yeah, Yeah.
That seems like an equal.
Well, and if you want to have a contract, make a contract with some person for your, you know.
Oh, but it's not the same. You see, I want it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do what I want to do but not suffer the consequences.
Look, nature, you don't even have to be a Christian. See, they always bring up the bugaboo about the theocracy and so forth. If you insist on traditional marriage,
you do not
have to be a Christian to realize that marriage is between a man and a woman. Nature tells you this, your reason tells you this, your conscience tells you this, and the clear word of God tells you this, that marriage is for a man and a woman. So, I mean, Romans 1 and 2, God's law written on man's hearts. This is why civil laws historically have some conformity to God's law, as in the Ten Commandments. Those who don't have the Ten Commandments at least know that murder is wrong, that stealing is wrong, that false witness is wrong, and that marriage is the backbone of society, the foundation of society, and is between a man and a woman. The design of the human body and how the human race is reproduced. It's like they're living out now the emperor's new clothes, and they don't want to hear the obvious truth.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. It's the tyranny of language. It's not reproduction. It's now recreation.
Hmm.
It's not a child. It's a choice. See, when you talk about, every culture has an understanding of murder.
Mm-hmm.
How they define it varies from place to place sometimes, or the conditions under which it may or may not be committed vary from place to place. But what we've done is we've just simply changed the definition. It's not murder. It's a choice. Who could argue with a choice, Pastor? It's not a child. You know, it's just, it's a thing. It's like you said, it's like a cancer, or it's like anything. It's like, you know, a wart that I have removed, or I have my teeth fixed.
Yeah.
It's just another procedure.
But
it's
if you want it, then it is a child.
Not necessarily.
Well, see, no. Like when a woman is killed, let's say in a robbery or something, and she's pregnant, and the woman wanted the child, then they'll bemoan the loss of the child. See, it's very subjective. It's really postmodern.
Yeah.
You know, if you want it, even leftists, liberals, if the woman becomes pregnant and they want the child, they'll, normalcy will set in, and they'll talk about this child. They'll get prepared for having a baby, and you know, all the, have baby showers and all this. So if they want it, it's a baby. But if they don't want it, it's not a baby.
Well, what is the difference between whether you have a late term abortion in the ninth month, as some are performed? And 6 months after that child is born, you just don't like it anymore. Why do we draw a distinction simply because of time and location?
I think it's the vestige of this sense of right and wrong that we haven't completely become callous on. It's a process of numbing the conscience and making yourself and the culture more callous, and it's incremental. Let's talk about something Christian now. I mean, we've been talking in the matter of the law.
Christian, I thought we were.
All that we're talking about is the law of right and wrong.
Okay.
I mean, that's important.
Okay.
We also want to talk about the gospel.
You don't want to talk about the new eyeglasses for Hasidic Jews?
No.
You don't? But it's Friday. We have to talk about these
things. All right, go ahead.
Friday.
Talk about that.
No, seriously.
But at some point in this hour, we need to talk about, you know, we're now the, you know, KFUO is the messenger of good news.
That's
we got to
get
some good news in here somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, that's
well,
why we're on
the fact you showed
air.
Up was good news. Isn't that good enough?
No, we have to teach the law and the gospel.
Absolutely.
And it's important for the ministry of the gospel that we say what we have just said for the last 45 minutes.
All right.
Because when you let the law crumble and there's no more sin,
there's no need for a gospel.
No need for a gospel.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So the law, in its first use of maintaining order in the world, serves the more important use of the law in the second use, which is to show us our sins. Because the civil laws and the societal norms should reinforce God's commandments so we have a clear sense of right and wrong and realize that whether we are liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, we have all sinned in thought, word, and deed by omission and commission and are in need of a righteousness not our own, And that is when people are ready to hear the gospel.
And that is our commonality.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'll bring this up is because I think it illustrates the extremes to which you can take law.
Okay.
This comes from the New York Daily News by way of one of the newspapers of Israel. I don't see which one it is. Headline, in Israel, new modesty glasses for Orthodox Jewish men blur women out of the line of sight.
How do they do that?
Well, it doesn't really say exactly how they do it. It just says here that the purpose is they don't want to sin by being tempted to lust because they can see. Again, the
only if you could avoid sinning by plucking out your eye, you know, picking up, playing on what Jesus said. I mean, if that was all it took, well, then I suppose that would be a good thing. But you're still going to have lust in your heart and in your mind.
Well, but see, this is why you know some communities across the world buy very large bed sheets and dress their women in this because if we don't have to see them, then we won't be tempted.
Even though some of the men in those societies are very lecherous, even while the women are clad in burqas.
You know, and this is the extreme to which we take law. Now, what is the gospel side of that? We don't want to sin. We don't want sin to abound. We don't want to sin boldly, do we?
We don't want to use the grace of God as an excuse for yielding to our sins. This is the argument that Paul makes in Romans 5 and 6, where he talks about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may more abound? And he says, by no means. Don't you know that you have been, again, getting back to baptism, that you've been buried with Christ? So we're not to use God's forgiveness as a license for our lusts. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit does convict us of our sins through the preaching of the law so that we realize our need. And as long as we've been a Christian, if we're a pastor, if we're hosting a religious radio program, if we're honest with ourselves and look in that mirror of the Ten Commandments, you know, I'm no less a sinner than Sandra Fluke or those women at the rally. I'm just as sinful a person. And I am in need of God's forgiveness. Our sins may take different forms, but there is one Savior, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and kept God's law perfectly for us and took our punishment on the cross and shed his blood, the Son of God did, to cover all of our sins so that we would have everlasting life. That's why the church is here. That's why this radio station is here.
So then why bother? Why send the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Matt Harrison, to Congress to testify? But we're all sinners. Who cares? Just do what you want to do, and we'll figure it out at the end.
Again, our conscience is bound by the Word of God, and we must obey God rather than men. And that's why President Harrison said, if you try to force us to pay for abortion-causing drugs, I'll go to jail rather than doing that. And it's the Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. We are normally submissive to the government, except when the government tells us to do things against God's word.
And when things like the Sandra Fluke testimony come up, or these different events that we talk about on the program, yeah, we do have to cast a critical eye to culture.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because we're here to serve our neighbor, and in turn that influences our culture. And the question then becomes, how do you serve Sandra Fluke as a neighbor?
Yeah, and by yielding to the lies, you're not helping anyone.
Exactly.
You're actually paving the way for their destruction if you condone what God calls wrong. You're making it very easy for people to fall into that, which is going to hurt them, damage them in this life, and possibly lead to their eternal damnation because they don't repent.
And you have to be able to understand why it's wrong that she holds the position that she does.
Yeah.
And I don't know that. See, again, I like I said.
Look, our Creator has a good design. He knows what he's doing. God, our
really?
Creator, knows that the best path for people to exercise their sexual desires, and God is in favor of sex. There, I've said it. God created sex, and it's a good thing. But the way he has given us to exercise that good desire is through marriage. And when we try to do it ourselves, and this was Adam and Eve's sin, they wanted to be their own God, and make their, that's what all sin is. We think we know better than God, and God's holding out on us. God's a meanie, and he's trying to deprive us, and he won't take care of us, so I got to do things on my own. That's what sin is, and it takes all kinds of forms, and in this area, in terms of sexual morality, this is the current sin du jour.
Yeah, that's Israel in the wilderness. Moses is up on the mountain, and is he really coming back? You know, he's been gone for
quite
a while.
Let's do it our way.
And, you know, we'll just throw some gold and look what came out of the fire.
Yeah.
Golly gee willikers, there was a cow. How did this get here? Yeah, oh, you're so right, Pastor. Hey, one quick other story here, just to sort of emphasize why we bring some of these things up. This is a remarkable story. This is, as you listen to this, the ages of these children are 6 and 7. Listen to this.
Now back to those two children who the sheriff says are responsible for vandalism at a Lenoir City church. 10 News reporter Hillary Lake joins us now with more. Hillary.
Robin, we told you about the vandalism last month. According to Loudoun County Sheriff Tim Guider, the two boys attended Vacation Bible School at Lee Heights Baptist Church back in July. A week later, according to the sheriff, the pair went back to the church and caused an estimated $10,000 in damage. The boys scattered food and paint and even toys all around the building. According to the sheriff, no charges will be filed, but DCS is now investigating the case. They're looking into how the children were able to get to the church and caused the damage. As far as the mess, Sheriff Guider says a number of volunteers cleaned it up and made the necessary repairs. Robin?
Disturbing on so many levels. All right, Hillary, thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Disturbing on so many levels.
Hey, that must have been a rough VBS.
Well, but the point is, the kids are listening. The kids hear these arguments being made against the church, at the church, and then, you know...
With self-esteem, if something strikes you as mean or you don't like it, or something happened there, to lash out in inappropriate ways.
Strike out, yeah.
Yeah.
But 6 and 7, vandalizing a church to the tune of thousands of dollars of damage.
Yeah.
I just throw that over to you as a pastor and say, what do you do with that?
Well, what's not reported is, where are the parents in this? You know.
Well, we could make some assumptions and probably be right.
Yeah, I don't know,
but I don't know either. But you just
sin is not a new thing.
I was watching Gilligan's Island when I was 6.
Yeah,
I never would have crossed my mind to vandalize anything except my sister's stuff.
Yeah,
you know. See, you look at this and you go, well, this is why we need to talk about these things, because the kids are listening and you got to be present.
Well, every generation thinks their generation is the worst that's come along, and
I'm convinced one is.
Well, you may have something out of the ball there, but hey, before we wrap things up, I want to tell
people minute here. Go ahead.
About our churches. I've got two of them. St. Matthew in Bonterra, Missouri, and you can go to the website stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org. And we have church at St. Matthew's Sunday at 9 a.m. And then I get in the car and hop on over to Potosi to do service at 10:45.
You should get a jetpack.
It takes 25 minutes, and sometimes I cut in it close. But Redeemer Potosi, and you can find that website at Redeemer Potosi, one word, redeemerpotosi.wordpress.com. And so Bonterre, 9 a.m., Potosi, Redeemer Potosi, 10:45. This Sunday, we dedicate the new hymnals at Redeemer Potosi. Potluck dinner afterwards. You're all welcome. And I'm going to bring my homemade ice cream.
Now,
sometime I got to bring that to the studio.
Do you make real ice cream, or do you make politically, dietetically correct ice cream?
Oh, I get the whole milk. I don't go.
Sing it, brother.
Yes, with a heavy whipping cream.
Oh, God bless you, good sir.
All right.
I appreciate that. Pastor Charles Hendrickson serves, as he mentioned, at St. Matthew Bonterra and Redeemer in Potosi. Always fun to have you in studio. I look forward to these hours. Thanks. Come again soon.
Sure.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Get out there and enjoy it. There is a bumper crop of apples waiting for you over at Eckert's, I hear. Maybe you go check that out tomorrow or Sunday. It's going to be nice. Enjoy it. We will miss you till then. God bless, guys. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The last few days on Law and Gospel, we spoke of a number of subjects, including the soldiers protecting Paul from the mob that wanted to murder him, and we made various points about that. And also we spoke about putting away the filth of the flesh in baptism. On the next broadcast is Open Mic Friday, where you can continue to talk about these or anything else on your mind.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
The messenger of good news. KFUO Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD. Worldwide at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Hundreds of mourners are gathered inside a Wisconsin high school gymnasium to remember those who were killed by a gunman last week inside a Sikh temple. This man's father was killed.
As appalling as the acts that transpired may be, and as devastated as all the families are of the survivors, we must not fight fire with fire. We must not fight hate with hate.
Governor Scott Walker has just addressed the mourners, telling them that the Sikh community has shown others how to respond to hate. We mourn with you, he said. And Attorney General Eric Holder just finished speaking.
Too many Sikhs have been targeted and victimized simply because of who they are, how they look, and what they believe. That is wrong, it is unacceptable, and it will not be tolerated.
Six worshippers were killed at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin last Sunday by a gunman who killed himself after a shootout with police. We are learning more now about the three Americans shot and killed by an Afghan police officer today. A U.S. Defense Department official says they were Marines involved in special operations. So far this year, 30 coalition service members have been killed by men in Afghan uniforms. A Muslim soldier has been sentenced to two life terms in prison for planning to attack a Texas restaurant full of U.S. troops. A defiant PFC Nasser Jason Abdo told a federal court in Waco he will continue to wage jihad. He was convicted in May of six charges. He was AWOL from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, when he was arrested with bomb-making materials last summer near Fort Hood. This is AP Radio News.